All right, our reading will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now turn to your neighbor. Go on and grab your neighbor by the hand. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Make sure that you're giving them your undivided attention. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
it's
an inside job.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
it's an inside job. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, it's an inside job. You know, I'm always fascinated when I look on TV when they talk about how they are getting ready to demolish a building. You see, Deacon Aldridge, the one thing that is interesting, that the majority of time whenever they demolish buildings, there are other structures around it. So they're able to blow the building up on the inside and cause it to fall down flat without destroying anything around it. You know, and as we look at that, it causes my mind to look at church. Because when we look at church, the one thing we have to understand, that the biggest problem the church faces is not what's out there, it's what's inside here. You see, you got to recognize that there is an inside job. Have you ever been in church? The Lord blessed you and the worship service was just so great, but before you can get to the door, somebody done threw something at you negative. And then it's like, man, I just had a good time in service. The reality is, don't you know the enemy, all he wants to do is put your light out. He wants to put water on your fire. You see, because if he can get enough folk to be saturated with the mess, then that means the church itself will implode. You see, but we understand that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. But if we're relying more on self and not enough on Jesus, then Jesus can't do what he needs to do. He will never force himself upon the church. Whenever we come to church, we ought not have, nobody should have to tell you that we're here to praise Jesus. You should already know that that is why we're here. Ain't that right, Sister Pat? Sister Violet, did I get it wrong? If you're coming here thinking that you got to praise the pastor, something wrong. Amen. If you're here to praise some other leader, something wrong. We are all here because Jesus Christ paid it all. We are all here because he made a difference in our lives. We're all here because he took us from a nothing and made something from us. We're all here because other folks said we couldn't do nothing. But didn't the Lord step in right on time? Didn't he turn stuff around for you? Oh, do I got a witness in God's house? You see, as I look at this, Mother Austin, I want to take us first. Before I even deal with the beginning of these verses, I just need to take us to verse number 4, where he says, no, I go back to verse number 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now I need to stop right there. I need to deal with that because of the fact that folk are saying, well, everybody in here love the Lord. Everybody in here is accepted and have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. But how come everybody ain't acting like that? See, the thing is, it's one thing to say something, but there ought to be some substance through your actions. You see, what Paul is dealing with and struggling with and letting the church in Corinth know is that you got to recognize that whenever the gospel is preached, the expectation is that it's going to touch hearts and change lives. Whenever the word of God goes forward, it does shake things up to get things right. But there's always somebody who is standing off to the side saying, not me. And when they see you get excited in service and you are praising God and thanking God for all that he's done, there's always somebody saying, you know, it really don't take all of. Why don't you just sit down and shut up? Yeah, God is good. I know he's good and he's good all the time, but I don't need all hear all that mess from you. The reality is there are some firemen in God's house whose job is to go around pouring water on the fire that God has gotten started. The enemy wants to pour water on the fire that God has gotten started. You see, what I want us to realize and recognize, my brothers and my sisters, is that whenever you are in God's house and whenever you are being moved by the word of God, don't ever be concerned with somebody around you trying to tell you to be quiet or trying to tell you you don't have to move around, trying to tell you next week, why don't you just sit down and get out the way? Or don't matter what they say about you, only you know what the Lord has done for you. That's why whenever you hear the word of God, it does something to you on the depths of your soul. It causes you to get excited. It causes you to shout. It causes you to pray. Praise God, because you know if it had not been for the Lord, where in the world would you be? Could I even sit up in church right now if God hadn't blessed me? Could I be able to wave my hand if God hadn't blessed me? Could I still be in my right mind if God hadn't blessed me? When I hear the word of God, I don't have no blinders on. There's no veil in front of me. I'm going to receive all that God has for me because he's brought me a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? When we think about all that the Lord has done for us, when we think about where he brought us from, I ain't going to let you cause me to sit down and shut up. You don't know my story. You don't know how far he brought me. I could have been dead right now, but it's through God's grace and...
Hallelujah.
You see, Paul is saying that there is light in the word of God. The word of God brings light. You see, sometimes, touch your neighbor, say, neighbor. Don't get lost.
Don't get lost.
You see, the one thing I want us to understand, because I got to use Paul first. You see, whenever Paul would travel around and preach, and as he became more visible and the anointing of God grew on him, whenever folk would come, first maybe it might be a handful. Then all of a sudden it was two handful. Then all of a sudden the numbers was growing. And that's when folk were saying, no, 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 we got to put a stop to this. And then all of a sudden, then the whispers came. Do you know what Paul used to be? He was a persecutor of the church. You know, I believe he killed some Christians. And now he's going to stand up and talk about the glory of the Lord. And I want you to know that when them folk are whispering, they are in service just like we are. And they're whispering. You going to listen to anything that dude going to say? So the whole thing that's happening right then and there, Gabe, is that the enemy is trying to get you to lower the veil so that the light doesn't come through. The enemy tries to take the attention off of why you are there and put the attention on who you are hearing it from. Somebody gonna get that. You see, and when it happens like that, all the enemy is good at doing, Reverend Dabb, is giving us diversions. He never wants us to understand why you're here. Because when you came to churches, you came to the fact that you realize, right now, my life feels like a living hell. It seemed like everything is just falling apart. It seemed like everything is going wrong. Yeah. That's why I'm here. But when you get there, then somebody begins to whisper. Yeah. You can't listen to nothing that Paul says because Paul ain't right. There was a time he wasn't right. Truth be told, there was a time we wasn't right. Amen.
Amen.
I know you don't want to say it because you're holy. But the reality is you ain't always been right. You see, well, one of the things that we have to recognize when we talk about transparency in the church is that we want folk to know who come to this church. We ain't always had it together. And truth be told, there's still some stuff we ain't got together. But it's through Jesus Christ we can do all that we do. That's why we're here, because we are growing each and every day. But the enemy is trying to put a veil in your face. He knows that you have accepted Christ, but he don't want that light to shine in you. He don't want you to leave this place with the seeds of joy and encouragement and empowerment, and to take them seeds and plant them wherever you go so that folk can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. What the enemy wants you to do when you leave this place is have a whole bunch of rocks in your pocket, so that when you leave this place, you're throwing rocks, talking bad about the place that you worship, talking bad about what's going on there. But then all of a sudden, okay, will you come to church with me? I ain't coming nowhere with you. All them rocks you throwing, why do I want to come where you are? Because where you are ain't going to make a difference to me. Where you are is not going to bless me. Because if folk in the church are like you, I ain't getting nothing from. We have to see that the enemy is attempting to put a veil on you. And the way that he does that is by pouring water on your fire. And the firemen I'm talking about ain't trying to save lives.
Come on now.
The firemen I'm talking about are trying to destroy lives. And those are the kind of firemen that the enemy wants. Because he doesn't want this church to be so hot and on fire that even to get close is going to make you sweat. because you understand how good our God is. But the one thing I had to do before I went to another part, I had to give this to you. Because I want you to know that it is an inside job. You see, because of the fact that we recognize when the enemy tried to come from the outside. We know how to protect our perimeter. We know how to pray. But when the enemy is right in our midst, that's when he hits us where we don't expect to be hit. Can I just be honest with you real quick? You know, we can deal, if anybody in the vegetable, come on in. We can deal with folk on the outside saying negative things to us because we expect that. But folk who you worship with, folk who you pray with, folk who you've been through some stuff with and you're in church and we're worshiping God together. What hurts us is when we see folk who we smiled at day after day in service and in church and in various events. What hurts us is when them same folk say things that hurt us. Do things that hit us at the core of who we are. Because it becomes what we do not expect. But one of the things I want you to understand, and I got to go back and read verse 1 for you again. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose hearts. Did y'all hear that? I want you to understand something. The Lord has called you and I to do ministry. But how can I do ministry the way I am? Why? Because God has showed you mercy. And since God has showed you mercy, Paul is talking about this from his own personal experience. Because the Lord could have killed him on that road to Damascus. But the Lord showed Paul what? Mercy. And once the Lord showed Paul mercy, Paul realized that the Lord is calling me to do what? Ministry. And when I'm doing ministry, will everybody like what I say? Will everybody embrace what I say? The answer to that question is no. But what is it I don't do? I don't lose heart. You know why we don't lose heart? Because I'm not doing it to puff up myself. I'm not doing it for you to look at me and praise me. I'm not doing it for you to talk good about me. I'm doing it because I understand that it's through the mercy of God that I am still here. And that's not just my story. Kearney, ain't that your story? If it had not been for the mercy of God, could any of us be in God's house right now? And when you know what the Lord has done for us, we will not lose heart. But I will go out and I will be a seed planter. I will let folk know that the Lord is a mighty good God. He will turn your life around. He will make a difference for you. All he wants you to do is serve him. Ministry is called serving. The Lord wants you and I to serve him. Because if you're doing ministry, that means you are serving. And you know how we're going to serve, y'all? Check out verse 2. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. You know what what Paul is telling the church? No more hiding. You might not be perfect. You've done some stuff wrong. Even right now, you are sitting in church and some folk know what you used to do in your life. They look at you and every now and then they smirk when they look at you. I can't believe they're still coming up in church. I know what they used to be. But guess what? There's no more hiding. Because guess what? The Lord has showed all of us what? Mercy. And since God has showed me mercy, I don't care about what you know what I used to be. I know what I am right now. And since I know what I am right now, I will not falsify the word of God. I will not change that word for my own selfish gain. I'm going to give you the unadulterated word of God, because that's when the power of God is released. It's through his word. And when we give his word, just as he's given it to us, it makes a difference in our lives. It will change hearts. It will change minds. Do I got a witness in God's house? Will our God do it? Can our God do it? Somebody ought to say thank you. You see, when we think about all that the Lord has done for us, all that the Lord has brought us through, and then folk gonna sit there and look at us. But you know what we're saying? Ain't no more hiding. Our Lord knows I ain't perfect. Lord knows I made some mistakes. And guess what? It ain't just my story. That's your story too. But the reality is that what happens after you made a mistake? Do you stay there and waddle in it, or do you get up and move on forward? Because the Lord tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all righteousness. I want you to understand that the Lord will allow us to do things even when we've made some mistakes, but you got to understand how to get right again. Amen? So I am challenging each and every one of us up in this place. I don't care what you used to do, but what you are saying is today, I make a decision to be the very best that I can be in the name of Jesus. I understand I struggle with this, but that's all right. Why? No more hiding. I understand that the Lord is there and he's going to bless me. I understand that I mess up every now and then, but Lord, today is a new day. I want to get better today than what I was on yesterday. And if I do that, I'm going to help somebody else. The Lord wants me not just to help myself, but to help somebody else. Because I want you to know, if I ain't helping somebody, I can sure enough be hurting somebody. It's an inside job. Now, can I flip the inside job on you? Now, let me help you see something. Jump on down to verse number 5 with me. He says, for we do not proclaim who? Ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying, y'all? It's an inside job. You see, because I want you to understand when I said flip it now, you got to flip it and go with me. You see, because when we talk about an inside job, don't you know on the inside, many of us were so toe up from the flow up, we didn't know if our lives were ever going to change. Don't you know when we look at what we used to be on the inside, remember how nasty and mean we used to be to other folk? Remember how we in so many ways weren't just hurting them, but we were also hurting ourselves? But then one day we had an encounter with Jesus. And through that encounter with Jesus, Jesus blessed us and strengthened us where? On the... See, you understanding what I'm saying today, my brothers and my sisters? It's an inside job. You got to understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, it's a what? When you understand how the Holy Spirit has jumped on the inside of you and touched you from the inside out, you come to realize that whenever the Lord is using you, it's not about you. You want folk to see less of you and more of Jesus, because Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the way maker. He's the all in all. I tell you, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I'll say it again. It's a... So when you think about all that the Lord has done for you, it's not what the Lord has done on the outside. It's what the Lord first did on the what? So when you think about all that the Lord has done for you, that's why Mother Austin, when they look at you and understand, can't understand why you're so excited at 95 years old, because it's a inside job. When you look at all that the Lord has brought you through and what he's doing in your life, it is a what? Inside job. Brother Lewis, the Lord brought you up off that operating table, and look at you now. You're back in church, praising God, able to celebrate a birthday today. I tell you, it's a... When you think about all that the Lord is doing in our lives, it It is not so that we can impress folk, but so that the folk can see that it is a
inside job.
Oh, somebody gonna work with me. I'm starting to get a little excited right now. You see, I want you to understand today that if you are a child of God and you are in God's house, there's no way you can ever sit there and act like the Lord ain't done nothing for you. I want you to know it's an inside job, Phil. I know how good God has been to us. Kathy, it's an inside job. When you realize what the Lord has done for us on the inside, there's no way, Sister White, we can sit there and act like God ain't done nothing for us, because the Lord worked for us on the inside. I'll say it again. It's our inside. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He works from the inside out. And I don't care how folk try to implode us in this place, it ain't going to work, because the inside job that the Lord has done for us is greater than anything else. And the Lord will knock down whatever is trying to get in our way. So all I'm saying, my brothers and my sisters, if you want to see what the Lord can do, go on and give him some praise. Go on and thank him. You want some walls to fall? Give him some praise. You want to see some change? Give him some praise. You want to see how God can work? Give him some praise. The reason why things ain't happening is because the people of God are not praising him. Will you praise him today? Will you thank him today? Has he been good to you today? I tell you, it's a inside. I tell you, my brothers, all my sisters, when you think about, hold up, you ain't got to sit down. I just want you to stop clapping, because I want to hear, told you to say this. And I don't want to shout it. When I first started this sermon, and I said what I said, y'all got so caught up in the negative, you almost missed the positive. So God had to get us to see that what he's doing in us is an inside job. And when we know that what God is doing in us is an inside job, you know what happens to us in church? We can't ever come up in here, my brothers and sisters, and act like it ain't nothing. I want you to know, if you're here today, God's done something. What he has done allowed you to see another day. He allowed you to be in service. I tell you, it's an inside job. That's why we got something to praise him for. That's why we got something to thank him for. Because he has been mighty good to us. Has God been good to you? Now don't lie to me right now. Has God been good to you? Then you ought to thank him. You ought to praise him. Because what God has done is done with you on the inside. So it's an inside. So my brothers and sisters, I want every child of God to recognize today, whenever we leave this place, you ought to leave this place with seeds of joy inside of you. And you got so many seeds that you just got to plant them wherever you go. Let me help you understand it from this perspective. You know, I got a lot of grass to cut in my house. And you know, the other thing I got in my house is a whole lot of pine trees. And anytime you got pine trees, every week when I cut that grass, I find myself picking up anywhere from 15 to 20 to 30 pine cones. Why? Because as long as that tree is growing, what is going, all those trees are going to continue to do is drop the pine cones to try to plant some seeds. You see, now if you are children of the God of God, I mean of the children of the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then you ought to be growing each and every day. And every time you leave this service, you ought to have some seeds in you that you can't wait to get out of here and go plant somewhere, because you know how good God is to you. And you ain't just satisfied with him blessing you. You want to be a blessing to somebody else. So I want to take my seeds and I want to plant them wherever I go. I want to plant them wherever I go because God has been good to me. And I want them to know how good he is too. So I'm saying to you, are you ready to plant? Are you ready to send stuff out? Because it's an inside time to plant seeds, my brother. Time to plant seeds, my sister. Focus on what's important. And leave all the rhetoric outside. God needs to make a difference in this place. And I thank God he is making a difference. And Lord, he's making a difference starting with the big head dude you looking at. Because our God is an awesome God. Yeah, you did call me big head Chester, but I ain't mad at you. You said amen, you agreed with it. I'm just playing with you. But what I want us to understand is that the Lord wants us to truly get to where we're going to get to. So if we're going to get to where we need to get to, then we got to get rid of some rhetoric and truly be about the Lord's work and do his will and focus on what really is important. What's important is for us to make a difference in this community. Allow us to go forward and let folk know there's a healer in the land, a deliverer in the land, an encourager in the land. And his name is
Jesus.
Why? Because it's an inside
job.
Let us all rise to our feet, please. If you are able. We have a challenge to us. The challenge that I'm going to give you, if you're willing to take it, is all you got to do is just raise your hand. You ain't got to run to the altar. You got to raise your hand. If you're going to be a seed planter when you leave this place, from this day forward, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I'm a seed planter. I'm going to plant wherever I go. You see, that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be seed planters. God wants us to let folk know how good he is. God wants us to let other people understand that he will make a way out of no way. Even in the midst of the shootings that have taken place, even when we see how things are happening, which truly are seem like they're detrimental to us as African Americans, we still are going to be seed planters. We're going to let folk know that there is an answer, and his name is
Jesus.
You see, in order for that to happen, I want you to say, I'm a seed planter.
I'm a seed planter.
You don't, if you don't plant them, don't get mad if nothing don't happen.
All right.
You can put your hand down, but that's what I want us to be today. I want us to be seed planters. So anytime from this point on, when you leave BRBC, wherever you go, you're going to plant some seeds.
Yes.
And don't lose heart because it might not move as fast as you like, but just go plant seeds. You see, because if you plant enough seeds, I want you to know some of them will grow. But if you only plant one or two and they don't grow, hey, you ain't put down enough seeds. For those who know about planting grass and you want to get some grass, whenever you go grass, what do? You just grab a handful of grass seeds and you just throw it. Because you got to put down a whole lot.
Trust the Lord. Oh, yeah.
But now I'm talking to the folk who are here.
Oh, yes.
Who have not accepted Jesus.